بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. Most respected elders and brothers, as many of us are very well aware that we are currently in this month of Dhul Qa'dah, and this is that time or that period of the year that is famously known as the season of Hajj. And we will find that many of people that we may know of, some maybe family, friends, associates, someone or the other has either left or will still embark on this very once-in-a-life journey of Hajj. Once-in-a-life because it is only farz on a person once-in-a-life. Like that, a person can make many, many Hajjs thereafter. But all those will fall under Nafil. And this is what makes this ibadat of Hajj very, very unique compared to other ibadats. When it comes to salah, when it comes to fasting, zakat, when a person has the means, then time and time again it will become farz on a person. So for example, salah, a person still has an opportunity to perfect it, and as time will go, he will learn maybe one, two mistakes he was doing here, he was making there, he will rectify it, and gradually he will perfect it. But when it comes to this ibadat of Hajj, then a person only has one opportunity to make it right, that farz Hajj, to make it and to make it, do it right first time. So this is that time of the year wherein thousands and thousands of people from all over the world, they will be making their way to the very center point of the entire universe, the very center point of the earth, and that is Makkatul Mukarrama. In the riwayat it is mentioned that when the earth was still just water, the entire universe and the entire world was just water, then the spot upon which the Kaaba Sharif is constructed, there was a bubble. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed that now is the time to bring earth into existence, then the very first spot or the very first portion of land that came into being was the spot upon which the Kaaba Sharif has been constructed. And thereafter, as the water drew back, from this spot, land began to spread over the entire earth. So indeed, the Kaaba Sharif is the very center of the earth. It is the very center of the world. إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتِ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ. The very first house or the very first structure to be built is the Kaaba Sharif, the Baytullah. When Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Hawa alayhi salam, when they were sent down into this dunya, Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was sent to the island of Saran Deb, which is currently Sri Lanka. Hazrat Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam was sent to the wilderness of Khurasan near Afghanistan. So after decades of regret, of sorrow, of grief, of making tawbah, crying and weeping for that one mistake, that one slip up in the heavens, misguided by shaitan, after many, many years, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam appears to Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and he informs him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs you to make your way to Makkah Sharif, either to construct or to make Hajj of the Baytullah. In one riwayat it is mentioned that the Kaaba Sharif was already built by the Malaika. In some riwayat it is mentioned that the very first person to build the Kaaba Sharif was Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Whatever the case may be, but Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was the very first person to perform the Hajj of the Baytullah. And after he had completed the Hajj, when he had went on the plains of Arafah, and he was sitting on Jabal Rahmah, a person will see Arafah and the mountain, and on the day of Arafah, the Hajis will climb this mountain, and they will beg and they will beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, after he was done with the rituals of Arafah, of Hajj, as he was sitting on Mount Arafah, from the direction of Jeddah, he sees his beloved wife Hazrat Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam approaching, also coming to perform a Hajj. Imagine, in Jannah, they had everything at their disposal. They were the king, they were the queen. They had everyone subservient to them. Everyone had held them in such esteem and such honor. The robes of Jannah, whatever their hearts desired, they had it. But when they were sent down to this world, to this dunya, to this earth, they were stripped of everything. Not even, they didn't even have enough clothes to cover their bodies full. from the leaves and from the leaves of the different trees they had to make the clothes, and how they had to toil, that years and years of regret, of living in loneliness, not another human in sight. In Jannat they had everything. Decades of just that loneliness, day and night passing by, the years passing by. And after so many decades, he sees Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam, when they embrace and they begin to cry, they begin to sob. In the riwayat it is mentioned, so emotional was this this reunion between them, that even the malaika in the heavens also began to cry. Nevertheless, Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam, they were the first to perform Hajj. And we find that after them, right until the time of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, people would come and they would perform Hajj of the Baytullah. And on the occasion when the floods had come and destroyed everything across the earth, across everything was destroyed, then in the riwayat it is mentioned that the malaika lifted the Kaaba Sharif and it is presently in the fourth heaven. The next person to build the Kaaba Sharif was Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. The famous incident of the greatest test where Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had to go through. To take that knife and to place it on the neck of his son Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. We are not going to go into the details of that incident. However, not long thereafter, when Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam was still a boy, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and he informs him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered you, instructed you to now build the Kaaba Sharif, the Baytullah. Where it must be constructed, what are the landmarks, what is the exact spot it must be constructed, how it must be constructed. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam tells him that after a few days a cloud will appear. And when you see that cloud, then mount your camel and follow this cloud. Wherever this cloud will stop and where the shade of this cloud is cast, on that particular spot you build the Kaaba Sharif, the Baytullah. So the cloud had appeared, and at that spot, it is mentioned in the riwayats also, that the foundations upon which the Kaaba Sharif was existent in the time of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, that same foundation Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had begun to build the Kaaba Sharif. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam had brought the sand and the stones from five different mountains: Mount Libnan, Mount Hira, Mount Safa, Marwa, and Jabal Abu Qubais. From these five mountains, the stones and the sand was brought, and Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam began to construct the Kaaba Sharif with the help of his son Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. And as we know, the very miraculous rock that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam with, where that Maqam Ibrahim, Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam would hold that rock for his father. As soon as Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam would step onto that rock, immediately it used to be now drifting on mid-air. And as the need arose, as Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam began to build the Kaaba Sharif, and the walls of the Kaaba Sharif became higher, then that rock would also rise up higher. So this is how Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had built the Kaaba Sharif in the burning heat of that Arabian Peninsula, the Makkah desert. We can imagine no shade, no buildings, just sand and stone, nothing else around. What a task it must have been. What a great, what effort he must have put, him and Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, in the building of the Baytullah. But after the Baytullah was built, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam thereafter went to some mountain to retrieve the black stone. The black stone was kept in a certain mountain. He retrieved it and he brought it and he indicated to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam where this black stone should be fixed, where it should be placed. After placing the black stone, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam performed 1000 rakats of salah at each corner of the Kaaba Sharif. And after performing the salah, him and Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, they raised their hands towards the skies and they make the dua, Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta samiul alim. That, oh Allah, this is our efforts. This is our efforts that we have made. But oh Allah, you accept it from us. And this is a very, very great lesson we learn from the life of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Whatever good action that a person may carry out, whether it is something that requires less effort, like maybe performing salah, giving some charity, maybe tilawat of the Quran Sharif, dhikr, etc. Or maybe if it's something that requires a lot of effort, a person makes the khatam of the entire Quran Sharif, a person built a masjid for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we fasted the entire month of Ramadan, or something that requires a lot of effort, whatever it is. But after completion, make that dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, you accept it from us. Don't take it for granted that I did it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like we did a favor to Allah ta'ala. Like it's something that good we did. Whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it or not, oh Allah, our broken efforts were spent, or our time was spent into bringing this to completion. Oh Allah, if you have to count it with forgiveness, with acceptance, then definitely it'll become a means of a good investment for us in the akhirah. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had accepted the Baytullah, the efforts of Ibrahim alayhi salam. How Allah ta'ala had accepted the dua of Ismail alayhi salam and Ibrahim alayhi salam. That all through generations and through all the ages, people would come and they would make Hajj of the Baytullah, and up till this day, whether it is the Hajj season, whether it is Ramadan, whether it is whichever month of the year, we will see Makkah Sharif is bustling, the cities of Makkah Sharif is bustling. Makkah Sharif is known as the city that never sleeps. The Haram Sharif is brimming to capacity. People all around the Kaaba, 24 hours of the day and night, there is someone or the other around the Kaaba Sharif, either making tawaf, making tilawat of the Quran Sharif, performing salah, sitting, crying, raising their hands and supplicating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is all the dua and the effort of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and Ismail alayhi salam. And after building the Kaaba Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. Now the Kaaba Sharif is built. What is the next step? Now you stand up and you call the entire people of the world. Call the entire world, everyone, call them towards making Hajj, towards coming to the Baytullah. So Ibrahim alayhi salam asked Allah ta'ala that, oh Allah, how am I going to call each and every person? In Makkah Sharif, it was only myself, my family, maybe a few other tribes that were present. How am I going to convey the message to everyone across the world? But the reply, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, your work is to do that, to proclaim, to make that adhan, to go and make that call. That is your work. My work, يَأْتُوكَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ. They will come to you. My work is to bring them. From every deep ravine, from every mountain pass on the four corners of the world, they will come to you. In the riwayat it is mentioned, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam climbs up Mount Abu Qubais, the mountain upon which today the king's palace has been built upon. He climbs up that mountain and he makes the call that, oh people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Hajj farz upon you. Come to the Baytullah and perform your Hajj. The voice of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made it such that the voice of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had reached throughout the entire corners of the world, through the entire earth. Every person that was present in that time, they heard that call. And leave alone those that were present, even those souls that were not yet born in Adam Arwah, all of them heard that call. The fetuses in the wombs of the mothers also, they also heard that call. And those that had replied with Labbaik, the amount of times that they had replied with Labbaik also, that is the amount of times they were destined to make their Hajj, to come to the Baytullah. Now, let us just ponder and reflect for a moment. Many of us might think that how is it possible that the voice of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam has reached everyone in Makkah Sharif, no means of communication, and people are all over the world. How is it possible? But really, my respected elders and brothers, if there is any age or any generation that can relate to this, then definitely it is in our time, our generation today. Leave alone loudspeakers, leave alone mic systems. But then, wherever we are on that cell phone, we can already view Makkah live, Medina live. We can already see what is happening, leave alone listening to what is going on in the Haram Sharif. But we can even view what is there, who is there. We can see what is happening. A person from one side of the world to another side of the world, he makes that call, the video call or whatever it is, and he can see exactly what is happening over there with his family members or whatever it was. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that gave insan the brains, the aqal and the intelligence to create such technology. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the brains and that intelligence, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not capable of? إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ قَادِرْ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ Allah is capable of everything. Through His Qudrat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make everything or anything happen. So this was that call that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made. And throughout generations we find that people are making their way all to the Baytullah. And this is that time of the year also wherein those special servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we would say, hand-picked servants, they are the delegation on behalf of the entire ummah that are going to beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we are encouraged in the hadith to make the ikram and to ask them for du'as. Because the du'as are getting accepted. They will make du'a for themselves and also whoever they make du'a on behalf of also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them and forgive everyone and accept their du'as. Many a times a person might feel that there's so much of tajalli. As we learn, when a person, the example is given like a waterfall. When a person will pass by a waterfall, and that waterfall is falling from quite some height, he might not be inside that waterfall, but just maybe walking on the banks of that stream or that river where the waterfall is falling. And already we can feel that splashes of that waterfall. Sometimes, if a person spends a lot of time there, his entire head to toe, he will be drenched with those splashes from that waterfall. Ulama Ikram mentioned to us that the Kaaba Sharif is like that pond or that stream, that dam, and the waterfall of Allah's mercy is falling continuously, gushing down upon that Kaaba Sharif, upon the Kaaba Sharif, the Baytullah. All those that will be around the Baytullah Sharif, they will be able to get that divine blessing, that divine rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is falling on the Baytullah will definitely come upon those that are around it. On one occasion, when the Sahaba radiallahu anhu asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that, O Nabi of Allah, tell us about Hajj. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions that every step or every time your camel or your conveyance will lift up its leg and you'll put that hoof down, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will record one sawab for you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive one sin, wipe out one sin from your book of deeds. And leave alone on the camel or conveyance. But if a person has to go walking for Hajj, then the hadith mentions a person will get 700 million thawab for each and every step that we take. When a person will make tawaf of the Baytullah, it is as though a person has freed a slave from the progeny of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. When a person will make sa'i between Safa and Marwa, it is as though a person has freed 70 slaves. And when a person comes, when the Hujjaj come on the plains of Arafah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the lowest heaven, to the first heaven, and He boasts about the creation, about the servants, to the malaika, that look at them, they are disheveled, they are far away from home, they are musafirs, and what is their condition? But they desire only one thing, they desire their forgiveness, they desire their jannat. Go each and every one of you, I have forgiven every one of you. The hadith mentions, man hajja lillah, walam yafsuq, walam yarfuth, walam yafsuq. That person will make Hajj solely and only for one purpose and for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't get involved in any actions that are disobeying any sins, any gunas, or any obscene language. Raja'a kayomi waladatu ummuhu. He will return back home completely, totally free of sins like a newborn baby. So my respected elders and brothers, there is so much of encouragement that is given to us that those that have not performed their Hajj, let us try and apply for that accreditation, try and take that necessary steps and make our way to the Baytullah Sharif. Imagine one hadith Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions that person that has the means and still you don't perform that Hajj, whether you pass away as a Yahud or a Nasara, it doesn't matter to me. What severe warnings for a person who has the means and still doesn't perform Hajj. Many a times a person will say that through this accreditation process, and then we know the cost of one person going for Hajj. But my respected elders and brothers, when we hear the stories of the Hujjaj, every person that will go for Hajj has a different story. And every one of them, we heard it again and again, that is not the money, is not the wealth that will take us for Hajj. It is not that accreditation that will be accepted. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that takes us. There was an alim in Durban, in Overport. A few years ago, he was accredited for Hajj, and he gives his own incident. He says that just before Ramadan, before the accreditation also, he had just purchased a new car. And it was quite a nice, you know, in good condition, etc., whatever it was. And he just purchased that car, no financial, no bank finance or anything. It was just the money that he had. He put it down. He was still owing some money, maybe about 10,000 or so. And he promised the person, it was a non-Muslim seller also, he promised him that next month I will bring your money and I will pay you the balance of it. So that person said, very well and good. He took the vehicle, put it on his name, got the logbook, etc. And not long, just few days after that, his accreditation came through. He receives that email, you are accredited for Hajj. Now he's in that dilemma. Should I accept? Shouldn't I accept? He has not one extra penny left. Just maybe a little bit, just enough for himself and his family members. But nothing extra. Still owing on that vehicle also. After a few days, he decided that I will accept the accreditation and I will put my vehicle on for sale. So he accepts it. And it was a very good Polo, one of the latest Polos also, very low mileage. And he had marketed it for well below the market price. A vehicle that is in demand also. But he says that I got not one call and not one offer on that vehicle. His mother phoned him and mentioned, put my vehicle on sale also. Whichever one goes first, you use the money and you go for Hajj. Both the vehicles, very, very good vehicles also. And way below the market price, not one offer, not one phone call. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show something, when He wants to bring something into existence, and He wants good for someone, or He wants a certain thing, then it'll happen. It'll happen how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it to happen. So he had it so long on the market, not one phone call, nothing, no response. So what he begins to do, he begins to sell one thing from home. Whatever was lying around at home, one thing, maybe some Tupperwares or extra things. First, with the small things, he began to advertise 100 rand here, 200 rand there. And as time went, he began to now collect it. He kept it in one certain pouch. But the deadline, the day, that last day of the deadline to pay the deposit, that 60%, 70%, 80% deposit upfront, that is now coming closer. Now, how much that deposit will be? And now he is collecting just 100 rand here, 200 rand there. He says that that last day that he had to now go and pay the deadline, I went to that pouch and this exact amount of what the deposit required, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that that exact amount was in that pouch. He took it, he went and paid off that deposit, and now the balance is maybe 1 month or a few weeks are given to pay the balance. And he says again, now he began to sell whatever was at home. And slowly he began to acquire. And again, on that last day that he had to now pay the remainder of it, when he went to his pouch, that exact amount was in that pouch. He takes that whatever it was, and he goes and pays it. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him. He went for Hajj. He wasn't like far away in one far off hotel or some shabby hotel. He stayed in one of the 5-star hotels in that Zamzam Towers in Makkah Sharif. In Medina Sharif, he was in the Move and Pick. Those of us that know the place, that know these hotels, frontline hotels. In Aziziya, where everyone is sharing, he had his own separate apartment for him and his wife. And also, he had so much wealth to spend over there. And coming back also, he had left quite an amount at home. So when he comes back also, he is well. There is something for himself and his family members. So when a person has that cry, that dua that he had made every day, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the way. My time is up, but there are so many incidents. I remember our Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, he had given his incident how he had went for Hajj. He was working in Moy River, and what he was doing, he was running a maktab. How much can a person earn from a maktab? And he says, one day I was teaching Kitabul Hajj in that Hajj season, and that desire came in my heart that, oh Allah, yeah, I'm teaching Hajj, I want to go for Hajj. Oh Allah, you make it possible for me to go for Hajj. He says, I had nothing, we were just making ends meet at the end of the month. But he says, that same night or the very next day, in the odd hours of the night or the very early morning, he has a knock on the door. And when he opens it, it is the principal of the school in which he had borrowed that classroom to teach the maktab. It was a white principal. He had come there and he offered Moinus Patel Sahib rahmatullah alayhi. He mentioned that we want you to fill in for one of the teachers who are going away for a few months, and this is the amount that we are prepared to pay. Hazrat Maulana mentions that amount was more than enough to go and come for Hajj, to have a comfortable Hajj also. But he mentions that I mentioned to this, I told this person, I told the principal, we had a good relationship. He says, I told him that I'm not qualified to take up that class. I'm not even completed matric. Where I'm going to teach that person, that principal, he knew Maulana's akhlaq. He knew Maulana's dedication. He insisted and he didn't take no for an answer. That's that Maulana got the job the very next day. He went for Hajj comfortably, he came back comfortably also. Really, my respected elders and brothers, there are so many waqia, so many incidents where those that have been will tell us that it is not our wealth, it was only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My time is up. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that those that haven't been for Hajj, let us make that effort. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see that effort, that cry from our heart, and that effort that we will make. Put that apply for that accreditation and whatever it is. Try and put away some money in order to go for Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the way for us. And those of us that have been for Hajj also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us again and again to the Mubarak places. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.